Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. This morning my guest is a lioness among lionesses. Her name is Shanti Felden and she's a groundbreaking social researcher, a former Wall Street analyst. She has a master's from Harvard. And she has taken a path less traveled by and applies her analytical training and skills to the startling research of what men and women each privately think in the workplace. And this information is a game changer, and her book, The Male Factor, The Unwritten Rules, Misperceptions, and Secret Beliefs of Men in the Workplace, is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Her books have sold over 2 million copies and have been translated into 20 languages. She's been on every media outlet that you can think of, PBS, CNN, Fox, The Today Show, Focus on the Family, Family Life Today. She is a woman of impact and influence, and she brings factual knowledge to a huge factor that's impacting all of us because women are among the fastest growing business owners, and yet we always encounter men, that rare breed. So welcome, Shanti. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So we've got a lot to cover, and the first thing I want to ask is, why did you do this? How did you get personally motivated to research 3,000 men?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that I started off wanting to do this giant research study. I actually stumbled over it, believe it or not. I was originally, after I moved down from Wall Street, I had an opportunity to write a novel. And one of my main characters in my novel was a man. And I framed this guy as a good, you know, decent husband and father and a really successful businessman. And I realized I had no idea how to put thoughts in his head. I had no idea what a guy would be thinking in these situations with a female colleague or at home. And so I started interviewing men just to, you know, my husband, or if I'd be at a break in a business meeting and I'd turn to the guy next to me and I'd say, okay, so here's this book I'm writing and here's this scene that I'm trying to put my character in, what would you be thinking if this was you? And I found myself shocked, honestly, by what they were saying. And I realized that this was stuff that was not only surprising, but it was really foundational. It was things that was affecting me as a woman every single day that I had no idea these perceptions and these expectations were out there. And so for me and other women who really have a lot of opportunities, really wanted to find out what some of these expectations and perceptions that the other half had about us.
Well, I could not put your book down, and I was underlining and, you know, furiously addressing all of your issues that you brought up in the workplace. And I love how you take some, maybe cliches that women have dealt with, like it's a man's world. When you take that and you dissect it for us so that it's full of hope, you know, that there is a culture that men do want to help women, and yet they have a way of thinking that really is different from how we think. So let's get into that. When men say it's not personal, it's just business, what do they mean?
Well, the first thing that they mean, and you have to realize, is whenever you're working with men, you're kind of like working with a foreign culture. It is almost exactly the same thing. And there is a host of unwritten, unspoken rules that men think the workplace just is governed by. So when they say it's not personal, it's just business, what they're basically thinking is, you know, there's these two different worlds. There's personal world over here, and there's business world, a work world over here, and they function by two different laws of gravity, really, and they two different sets of these unwritten rules. And a lot of times what happens is that a man will see someone, a woman or a man, in the workplace, if they see them as functioning by some of the rules that they just don't think belong in business, and I think they kind of belong over on the personal side of things, they may see that person as a really good utility player. They deliver a lot of results. They get their metrics right. But you know what? Good utility player, not so much leadership material. And so often our ability to advance and have these positive working relationships and be perceived as a talented, high potential women we are is governed by how a man is perceiving us. And here's an example, by the way, of one of those sort of unwritten rules, is the idea that you just don't take things personally in the workplace. Men actually, because of their compartmentalized brains, they actually believe that you shouldn't even have the same personal feelings in the workplace as you do at home. And that's kind of easy for them to say because that's how their brains are wired. That's what's most comfortable for them. But for us as women, our brains are wired that it's all tied up together. And when you're criticized in a meeting, it sure feels personal. And so you really need to realize how that is going to be seen and make an informed decision. Okay, in this situation, if I do or say this, I bet this male boss of mine across the table is going to be thinking that I am breaking one of the foundational unwritten rules of business, and he may not see me as business savvy. So it's in my best interest to figure out how to manage that perception. And it's just, again, it's just as if you're approaching a foreign culture.
It is so fascinating. I mean, your book gives research and then solutions. You know, this is what you say, this is what you say, this is how to do
yeah.
it. And then just the context of why, not to play their game, you know, or not to
yeah.
change who we are. I love that image you had of, you know, like a woman's brain is like a cockpit of a plane with all these instruments and circuitry and all this other stuff. And then it shows a cartoon of a man's brain and there's like an up-down switch, you know.
Exactly. And you know what? It makes, and I will tell you, the brain science that has advanced so much in the last 10 years, it is absolutely imperative that all of us recognize that this is not necessarily good or bad. It's just different. And literally there's a biological reason behind why you see some of these perceptions. And it is not necessarily that we have to sort of change ourselves to be like what some man thinks, or why should I do this because some man has this perception. It's, again, it's neither good or bad, but oh my goodness, we need to know what those perceptions are so we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and not even realize it.
Exactly. And just so our listeners will know that her next work is going to be The Female Factor, helping men understand women in the workplace, particularly the female customer, because, you know, we do have the money. So you talk about the little things that drive men crazy. What are those things, and what can women do to avoid some of those frustrations?
Well, this is an example of where there are some of these things that are common to ways that women tend to handle things because of often the way our brain is wired that we don't realize are exactly the opposite of the way that a man expects it to work. So let me give you an example, and this is one I have problems with, which is getting to the point, okay? I had one man who told his director of operations, don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby, right?
Yeah.
And that idea of just getting to the point, for a guy, it is actively uncomfortable to listen in the way that women often process. The way that our brains are wired, we are verbal processors. And that is the way that is most comfortable to us. If you go in and you are explaining to a female colleague about what happened in a meeting, you want to hear the details and sort of walk me along
exactly.
the story so that when I get to the conclusion, I know that you made the right judgment. For the men, it's actively the opposite, and that they have a hard time verbal processing, and they don't prefer to hear it that way. And the way the men actually explained it to me, it makes it difficult to listen. As one man said, he said, I don't know whether when she's telling me the client meeting, I don't know whether what she's going to end with is, so isn't that interesting? Or, so we lost the client. I don't know where she's going. So it's very, very disconcerting to listen that way. And instead, it makes all the difference if instead you'll come in and you'll say, okay, boss, here's what happened. I was at the client meeting and we're going to have a $200,000 book of business for the next 3 months and we're going to need 5 people. Let me tell you what happened. And
right.
then you go and you tell a few of the details. And as they said, if they want more, they'll ask. But listening in any other way to them is is actively difficult, and frankly, and this is where, again, we need to know how it's perceived, it makes us look scatterbrained.
Yes, that was so fascinating to read. They think we're all over the map, when really the way we do process is it does matter what the temperature was, what the room looked like, what the flowers were on the table, because we think contextually. And then it's like, show me the baby. Now, it's always puzzled women why strong men in the workplace are viewed as assertive, while strong women may be viewed as difficult. And your research sheds light on that. Talk to us about that.
Well, the real answer to that dilemma, which obviously is so frustrating for so many women, is the difference between how men look on the outside and how they actively sort of feel about themselves and how they do on the inside. We think of men as having this big, you know, kind of ego. We talk about the male ego. And often if we are a strong, assertive, confident, opinionated woman and we're kind of rubbing, kind of not doing so well in our relationship with one of our male colleagues, we often think, well, he's just threatened, you know, by a strong and assertive woman. And what we don't realize is, you know what? He's threatened, but it's not by a strong and assertive woman. It's by anybody who is approaching it in the way that we are. And the reason for that is that underneath that, what we think of as the male ego, that's just a surface. It's a sham. There is a lot of self-doubt that is running underneath the surface. And there's an underlying insecurity and a vulnerability that we don't even know is there. And that is essentially a raw nerve. And we can hit that nerve without having any idea that that is what we're doing. And so that is what it comes across as difficult. And so, for example, there are so many ways that we can hit that nerve without realizing it. And I obviously don't have time to go into all of them here. But one example that's classic for us as women is if we're in the boardroom and we raise our hand and Bob is at the whiteboard and he's presenting the new deal and we raise our hand and we say, you know, Bob, why did you choose that pricing? We're just asking for more information. But because Bob is dealing with this underlying self-doubt and this feeling like I want to do a great job here, but I'm really not sure I know what I'm doing, because he's dealing with that insecurity, he thinks to himself, I can't believe she's challenging me in front of my whole team. And that is never what we'd want to say. If you watch, in most cases, how men ask that question, they raise their hand and they say, hey, Bob, help me understand the reason for that pricing. It's the same question, but it's asked in a way that assumes, you know, you have a reason, you're a good guy, you've done all this work, so I'm not getting there yet. Help me understand. And it's just a slight nuance, a slight difference, but it doesn't hit that nerve and trigger that sense of self-doubt. And one of the things that men said is that any colleague, male or female, that approaches them with that understanding in mind and it approaches them with a sense of mutual respect, like, you know what you're doing, let's get there as a team, that is somebody they will kill to work with. And they actively prefer and have this mutual respect for that person. So we don't need to go in there all gangbusters if that's not our personality and try to act like some super aggressive person, which for many of us is just not authentic. And and instead realize that many men who on my research, they said so often that women shoot themselves in the foot when they do that because they take on the most obnoxious characteristics of men when they're trying to be like a man, you know. The men even hate in each other. So realize there's a value here in not giving up our female strengths. It's just that we need to know how to work with those people from that other culture at the same time.
You know, I was fascinated by two things, and I want to try and cover both of them quickly. I don't know if we can, but I'd never really thought about the Adam and Eve story from the male perspective. I'd always looked at it from the female perspective. You know, we got blamed for everything. And the men say, don't you realize that we're the ones that are, now the land is going to fight us for everything. You know, that it's really a battle, and that they're constantly afraid that if the team falls apart, they will lose their ability to provide. And that your notion of team, their notion of team and sacrifice, talk to us about that. That was just a real dynamic for me. explore with you.
This is huge, and it's actually the reason why so many of these other issues are there and so many of these other perceptions are there, is that ultimately men feel like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. They feel like if they don't keep holding it up, it's going to fall apart and they're not going to be able to provide for their family and their wife is going to leave them and the glaciers are going to melt and the world is going to start spinning on its axis. And what? They are constantly looking. They know that's irrational, by the way, but it's strongly how they feel. And so they're constantly looking to other members of the team, to other people that they work with. Does this person have the same psychosis as I do? Does this person share the weight of the world with me? Or no? And this is where we get into some really tricky territory, because we often say things like, and women say things that men really would rarely or never say, things like, you know, it shouldn't matter whether I leave at 4 o'clock, you know, today, as long as I get my work done. And technically, true.
Well, my producer
not in their mind.
Yeah, we have 5 seconds. So check out Shanti Feldin at the humanfactorresources.com. humanfactorresources.com. It has been a wonderful show. We could talk for hours, and we certainly could go on. Shanti, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. Blessings to you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.